Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey, I'm Joe DeCamera.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes. Smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes. High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, oh, he's talking. Make sure, make it clean for you. Yo,
Jack, oh,
god damn you,
god
mother.
Damn
you should put this in. Yo,
hold on.
That was perfect timing.
I'm sorry, I'll mess you up.
Please
this time.
Don't. All right. Yo, now I messed up.
Just talk. Let's go. Let's go. Right.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. I tried to do a real yo this time.
Nah.
You guys talk. I hope Tucker puts that in at the end or something. You will hear the attempts. It was worth it because we had our freaking guy, the best friend of the podcast, Preston Mattingly, on. Jack, what? I can't believe this guy comes and talks to us. It's really, yeah. it's he's too good for this podcast.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, we're just too, do slappies.
Slappy. You know? We are slappies. That is a good way to put us.
That, yeah. You know, care a little too much.
Talking
about
to the general manager of the team.
Yeah. Just care a little too much about the team.
A little.
And I like projecting my, like, how many times you watch the YouTube?
I know.
Projecting my sadness.
Are you as sad as I am?
Are you as sad as I am? Imagine if it was just you and I talking to Dombrowski for the end of the end of season press conference.
Yes. We're the media.
Dave, you look at me.
Hey, Dave. What did you just say? Dave? Hold up, Dave. We're not leaving this Bryce Harper thing. Do you want to correct what you just said right there and rephrase, please?
Rewrap. But yeah, no. Preston's the best. So,
who's the best?
Yeah.
All right.
And I, you know how they talk about quarterbacks having pocket awareness?
Oh yeah.
You know, they feel the blind side rush coming.
Mm-hmm.
When I started asking too many prospect questions.
Oh, he was on it. Yeah.
I felt you. It's like the edge rusher coming around the corner being like, all right, wrap it up, big dog.
Yeah.
And I could have kept going.
Buddy, we know.
I didn't even ask about Alex McFarland.
I know, and it was on your list.
It was
on the sheet.
Did you have to look who Alex McFarland was?
No, I just figured I'd find out when you and Breslin talked about it. So,
yeah.
Now, you've brought up Alex McFarland before. I do pay attention when you talk, you know, sometimes.
He means a lot to me, and I think that he could I think he'd really help this team next year out of the bullpen. There's a lot of guys that I think could help this team.
Well,
out.
We talked about some of those guys.
And that was an exciting answer. And
it was.
It was actually one of the things. I was driving in today thinking about, you know, what I wanted to ask him, and I was like, it's a little nerdy. Asking about bullpen.
Oh, it's a lot nerdy.
But also you see some of the names that have opted out. And if they wanted to go crazy and for whatever reason give Robert Suarez money or Edwin to pitch the eighth would be insane if they wanted to do stuff like this. So where they could theoretically build a super bullpen if they so chose. So I was curious do you go for one of the big name arms? Or did the build it with him?
Well, he was the one who brought it up, which is noticeable. When you're like, what are you doing? He's like, lengthen the bullpen. Like, that was a clear. So I thought that was fascinating. Anyway, we should let people hear that.
How about that? We don't need to recap.
We can talk about every answer he said, or we can just give you the answers themselves.
I'm still pretty geeked about it.
There it is. Listen, here's Breslin Mattingly. And it is our pleasure to welcome back to the podcast. I was going to say friend of the pod. Can we say best friend of the pod? Our number one recurring guest, the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Mr. Preston Mattingly. Preston, what up, pal?
Thanks for having me, guys. I think we need to do this like maybe a weekly type thing.
Buddy. Don't you see this guy right next to me right here? Be careful about what you say.
I didn't know. He's obviously very busy with Eagles stuff, so I didn't know how busy he would be and be able.
Well, it is trade deadline. You're right. He's very locked in right now. He's perusing other teams' rosters, really breaking it down, looking at practice squad guys.
Press. I just want to let you know, I didn't move off my couch for 10 minutes after the loss. So, like, why don't we just tone it down a little bit, okay? We're all trying to do our best. We're all trying to get over. We're all trying to move past. I don't need control about the Eagles right now. We're all putting on a brave face and moving forward.
He's doing fine. Let's start. How about this? Before we start with the Phillies, we'll start with pain for someone else, sadly. Quickly about your dad. I mean, we got to mention it, 40 years plus in the sport, finally gets a chance to go to the World Series. Now, was a part of arguably the greatest World Series of all time. Game 7, the best game I think I've ever seen in my life, sports period. But, you know, came out on the wrong end. I'm sure you've talked to your dad. What was the experience like for your dad? And obviously, how's he dealing with a tough, tough loss?
Yeah, I think he's bummed. I mean, you know, obviously you get that close to winning the World Series, you feel like it kind of gets snatched from you. It's obviously very tough, and it was tough for me even just watching this game for him. But, I mean, even like, you know, like he's told me before, when you pour your heart into something, you spend his whole life in the game, and when you do that and you really invest in something, it's going to break your heart if it doesn't go your way. And obviously very tough series, a great series for baseball, but, you know, obviously tough on his end. But, you know, happy he got there. And obviously, Ben had a tremendous baseball career. Like, obviously, I'm pretty biased, but in my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer.
I think he's
on the committee here that just got released. But, you know, I think he's a Hall of Fame level player. And honestly, if it wasn't my dad, I'd say the same. He's a tremendous person. He treats everybody with respect. It's been great for the game. And, you know, was hoping he could pull one out there. But obviously, you know, Dodgers made a lot of plays and came out on top.
Yeah, Dom. I mean, I don't think people go back and look at the 80s and Dom Mattingly, like literally one of the best players in the sport for a decade and for a few years, the best player in baseball. So I'm with you, Mattingly, an all time baseball guy. Wow. So.
And that Game 7, I you can count on one hand the amount of baseball games are as good as that.
I think one finger. Yeah. I actually think, like, I've thought about this a lot. I thought 91 when I saw Jack Morris throw 10 innings as a 10-year-old, I was like, well, I'll never see anything better than that. Luis Gonzalez off Mo, like 97, Edgar Renteria. Like, I have these games in there, 2016, the weird rain delay, but still the Cubs winning the whole thing. I actually think that Game 7 of this World Series is the single best baseball game I've ever watched. I really do.
Yeah, I haven't been watching for too long, but I couldn't agree with you guys more. And there's just so many quality players on the field to both sides. You know, I think you see that many plays being made on both sides, that many kind of swings of momentum and, you know, the shifting back and forth. It was riveting for sure.
If the Phillies ever play in a game like that and come out on the losing end.
Oh my God. I wouldn't recover.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be here.
We might end the pod. I think it would be the up. High hopes is done.
Yeah.
Good time, guys. Thanks.
It was a good run. It was awesome.
I mean, professional sports, then, I mean, honestly, all sports are built to break your heart. And, you know, obviously we talked about my dad, but it's just like in general, like you, people pour so much time and money into watching their teams and spending time with their families while doing it. And, you know, you get so invested in the players and the city. And I think when it doesn't turn out your way, it's heartbreaking.
Totally, man. Especially baseball. It's just a bigger investment time wise than any other sport.
That's a game designed to break your heart.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
Yeah.
What kind of stuck out to you though? Like from a team building perspective, kind of watching the rest of the playoffs, obviously after, you know, the Phils were eliminated and watching this World Series, even the ALCS and NLCS, what kind of stuck out to you as to what those teams were doing and maybe something you could implement with this team?
Yeah, I think it always comes back to pitching. You take the Dodgers, for example. Like, I think we stack up right there with anybody in baseball from a starting pitching standpoint. So when you're able to throw quality starting pitching out there every single day, I think you're going to have a really good chance to win. And then from an offensive standpoint, like ability to control the strike zone, make a ton of contact, and then I think when you do damage. That's kind of what these teams do in the playoffs. The Blue Jays did that really well, ability to control the zone, have players that with position versatility, able to control the zone, put good at-bats on good starting pitching, and then, you know, have some superstar-level players like Vlad Guerrero Jr. and George Springer able to kind of carry you from that. Bo Bichette.
Do you think we're starting to see a bit of a shift in baseball, especially what you were just talking about with the high con? I mean, look, it's been the three true outcomes for a long stretch of baseball now where it's like, obviously there's other stuff, but teams play for it and they play for the homers and on base percentage. And if you strike out, you strike out. This Blue Jays team, the complete opposite, the way they went about it. Do you think, and look, starting pitching too, you know, with the Dodgers, with the Phillies, I think we're seeing teams, you know, focus on pitchers going deeper in games and stuff like that. Do you think that's representative of where baseball is heading? Or do you think that's kind of an anomaly for just this season?
I think the really quality teams can move the baseball forward. And I think if you're the goal is to build a roster of guys who can probably do both, can slug and you know make a ton of contact. But I think with pitching being as good as it is, I don't think it's going away. I think, you know, organizations are going to continue to search in the draft and international market and in minor league free agency for players who can move the ball forward and put the ball in play. So I think that contact's kind of always been king, and I don't think that's going anywhere with the quality of pitching that's in the league.
Yeah, it kind of feels like we're getting the teams are looking for baseball players. Like, obviously, you have superstars, right? I mean, the you need superstars to win a title, and you know the payrolls do matter. But it seems like the things that's helping these teams win ball games is pure baseball players. Put the ball in play, play good defense.
The Ernie Clements,
just like it's actually refreshing. It was a refreshing watch towards the end of the postseason of these teams that are just consistently putting the bat on the ball and also just running the base as well, doing the little things right, like baseball. That's what we're looking for, is baseball players playing baseball.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you mentioned, like that they're baseball player. I think position versatility in the league is becoming bigger than ever. The ability to move guys around the field, whether it's play, you know, the infield, move to the outfield. I think the Blue Jays had a bunch of those guys. The Dodgers have, you know, I think four or five of those guys as well. It just gives you position versatility. It gives you flexibility with your roster. It kind of supports you from an injury standpoint. When guys go down, you can shift guys around the field. And I think, like, the good baseball player, I think that's usually the guy that, to me, has gone to college in the past. I think nowadays those players are getting drafted in the top of the draft or, you know, the middle rounds of the draft, to where you're getting them in pro baseball sooner and they're able to kind of grow throughout your system and then become, you know, one of your own guys.
All right, let's segue to the Phils. I think we're good on World Series talk. Quickly, just off the top, I mean, we haven't spoken to you since the end of this season. You know, obviously, I think for all of us, a very unsatisfying end of the season. But, you know, you guys played the Dodgers as well as anyone along with the Blue Jays. How do you in the front office look at the past season from a, you know, obviously you want to win the World Series and that's it. But do you take the way you played the Dodgers as a positive? Do you look at it that way, or is it just the way it ended is failure and we've got to kind of find a way to get over the hump?
Yeah, I mean, like, anytime we lose, I take it very hard, and it's been a rough last month. I think from an organization where we're at, I think anything less than winning the World Series, we would qualify it as a failure. That's not saying that we didn't do some good things along the way. Obviously, winning the division for the second straight year, winning 96 games, all that stuff's great. But I think, you know, organizations built to win championships, and obviously we came up short this year. It was disappointing. We lost to a quality team, but I felt like, you know, going into that series that, you know, we had just as good a team as them. And, you know, honestly, they made a few more plays than we did. They got a few more big hits and they came out on top. That's not to say I wouldn't take our guys. That's not to say we can't get better, because we're going to. But you know, I think we feel like we have a good base and a foundation, but ultimately we have to get better and we, you know, to get over the hump and win that World Series.
What do you think is the number one thing that, you know, this group, this team has to improve on this offseason in order to get over the hump?
You know, it's a tough question. I think, you know, I think we feel really good about our quality starting pitching. So I think, you know, obviously add to that mix, you can never have enough of it. Maybe lengthen the bullpen. I think another, I had a few more arms out there to have, you know, more pieces able to go to throughout the season and in the playoffs, higher leverage. And then I think, you know, lengthen the lineup. I think, you know, we've had guys at the top that have, you know, been superstar level players. And I think it's time for, you know, some of the guys at the bottom to take a step forward and kind of take that next step to be in the quality, you know, not that they're not already quality major league players, but be, you know, that upper level major league player and contribute up in the, when it comes time most in the playoffs.
I'm really curious about what you mentioned there about the bullpen. And because I do think that there are some arms in the, you know, that are coming through the pipeline. We'll break them down later that could help as soon as next year. Is that something you view as something that you can fill internally, or is that where you go outside the organization and maybe bring in another power righty to get the ball to Duran?
Yeah, I think both. I think we feel good about our system. We got guys coming. But I think we're also going to look outside the organization, whether that's, you know, free agency or also via trade. I think we're always looking to improve. I think we've definitely looked at that as an area where we can add more depth there.
Andrew Walters.
Obviously, I know that, you know, you've got some big time free agent decisions coming up with your own players. You got, you know, the Schwarber decision, the Ranger decision, JT, Harrison Bader. But also there's a group that's been together for, you know, 4 years of playoff run now, and some of the guys longer. How do you kind of balance the chemistry that this team has had, the how close they've come to getting it done? You know, they made the playoffs 4 years in a row, have been there, and you know, a few plays this way, that way. How do you balance that versus what a lot of fans feel? There's a need for a changeup. There's a need for some sort of new chemistry there, or new type of players in the lineup or whatever, to kind of that it's kind of the same old, and that they need different guys there. How do you balance those two things? And philosophically, how do you look at, you know, how long you keep a group together? When do you need new blood? How does that work? How do you think about that philosophically?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, we love, you know, you mentioned a bunch of free agents. We you know, are very high on all those guys and like to have them back. Yeah, I think it's tough. I think you got to balance, like, you know, long-term sustainability of an organization, of keeping guys together, versus going outside the organization with a free agency and signing guys at maybe have a longer term in their contract. We can get guys for stay here a little bit longer. Can look at that. But I also think a lot of our change is going to come from within. I think, you know, it's, you know, we've spent the last 3 years kind of building our system up, trying to get guys, you know, through the system. And we're starting to get there, right? You know, we can talk about these guys in more detail, but you need Justin Crawford and Aiden Miller and Andrew Painter and Gabriel Rinconas. Like, I think we have to break in young players to our major league roster. And I think they're quality major league players. This isn't like just bringing anybody up. I think they'll fit in great with our group. And so I think a lot of change can come internal as well.
Perfect segue to what I wanted to ask next, because potentially if you do bring back guys like JT and Schwarber, 3-4-year, 5-year deals, whatever it ends up being in those situations, you are looking at a situation where, whether it's with Harper and Turner and Nola and those two guys, like, you have the chance for a large portion of the core to be kind of aging together in their mid-30s and later, in the case of Harper and Turner and whatnot. And then you talk about the young guys coming up. How do you balance that? Because they're, if you're talking about having these guys, they're mid-30s to late, they're, like, that's a win now situation. Like, we need... But you're talking about bringing Aiden Miller up potentially at 21, 22, right? Like, Painter's 20, going to be 23, 24. Justin Crawford that age too. I mean, that's young. They're young guys. How do you balance the need to win now and this kind of veteran group with trying to infuse youth and trying to, like, lengthen that window if you bring back and have this kind of core of players who are aging?
Why can't we do both, right? Like, why can't we have guys that are in, like, you know, win now moments of their or parts of their career, and then also introduce young players who can grow with them? And I think some of the veteran guys, we obviously love our clubhouse and what they brought there with Schwarber and Harper and Turner and the group. And I think it's a good environment to bring young players into. So I think, you know, having those guys there, it helps our young players to introduce them.
why is Rob Thompson the right guy to continue to lead this team, not only to the playoffs, hopefully, but through the playoffs and to hopefully win a World Series?
Yeah, I think he's shown up, you know, throughout the years. He's very steady, a good calming presence to our group. I think our players, you know, spoke very clearly and loudly that we felt like Rob was a guy that, you know, could get us to where we want to get to. That's obviously winning the World Series. And I think he's done a lot of good. And I know the fans only, you know, see, you know, a few moments of the season and nitpick. And I understand that. That's part of the job. But he does a lot behind the scenes to help, you know, our clubhouse, our coaching staff, develop our players. So I think we really feel like we continue to grow with him and our players.
And why was it important to create the new role for Mike Calitri, and kind of what is the front office looking for from the eventual bench coach to go next to Topper?
Yeah, I think it's a role that other teams have already been using. So we had it on our mind a couple years.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's prior. But so we thought of it as a way. Cal's doing a lot of Cal Calitri, Mike Calitri was doing a lot of the scheduling and spring training, a lot of the stuff already, kind of the field coordinator duties. So we thought it would be best served for him to kind of take over that responsibility and then give Topper a guy to kind of lean on throughout the game. So I think you asked what they're going to be doing. I think a lot of strategy will go into this. So I think a lot of leaning on, you know, bouncing stuff back and forth, ability to help in the clubhouse with different guys in different situations. Obviously, David mentioned a guy that, you know, we thought we'd like a guy with some managerial experience, potentially somebody just to help guide, you know, kind of guide and, you know, take our staff to a new level.
All right. I got to ask the question. There's been some consternation with the fan base, with the Bryce Harper situation, with the question, obviously, Dave Dombrowski, the answer in the press conference, and then Bryce reaching out to The Athletic and, you know, saying he's hurt and all that stuff. I understand it's a tough question, but just your thoughts on Bryce Harper right now with the Phils and where you're at.
Yeah, we love Bryce Harper. I think Dave's kind of said it in a couple of different press conferences, and I'll let that stand on that. But obviously, Bryce has been a tremendous player for, you know, throughout his career and with the Philadelphia Phillies, and we expect that continue going forward.
One of the things that, you know, Scott Boras, I guess, has come out and been is said about is getting protection for Bryce in the lineup. What do you kind of think about that? Do you think it's making a little bit out of nothing, or is that something that we're going to take into account this offseason?
Yeah, I think we're always looking to improve, right? I think, you know, it's definitely something we've earmarked as, you know, getting protection for a lot of our guys. We're pretty left-handed, as Tom said in the, mm-hmm. the post-game press conference. So, you know, just looking at different options, different avenues to improve our club, whether it's a right-handed bat, just another guy that can hit in the middle of our order.
I want to bring up another free agent we haven't talked much about. We talked about Schwarber and JT, but I want to talk about Harrison Bader, because he is someone who obviously came over the trade deadline and played the best he's ever played in his career while he was here. He was a superstar here in Philadelphia for a couple months before getting hurt. And I honestly believe if he doesn't get hurt, I really truly believe the Phillies win that series. But it's kind of a hard guy to evaluate in the sense that, you know, he's been a nice player. He's a phenomenal defender his whole career, but he was a career 750 OPS guy, a career 247 hitter. He comes here, he's batting like 340. He's got like a 900 OPS or whatever, 1,000, whatever it was here. Yeah. How do you evaluate a guy like that where, you know, for a large portion of their career, they've been this. But I know that they've talked about changes to the like batting changes that he's made, and there are tangible reasons you can grab onto. But it is weighing a half a season with you, with us, versus the rest of the career somewhere else. But that half a season is so magical here. How do you guys kind of balance that?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, he was tremendous when he came over with us. Some of the changes he made, I think it's pretty clear. Like he was getting the ball in the air to the pull side. I mean, he always has had power. I think he's tapping into that now, getting the ball in the air. Always been a quality defender. So I think like we look at everything, whether that's, you know, his sample size with us, which was pretty small, his career, you know, what he's done throughout there. And then also we have a ton of metrics internally that we can view and see like some things that the changes he's made and how we think he'll move going forward. But obviously he starts with a very high floor with just the defense that he plays, and it's at a premium position. So the energy he brought to our club, I think when we made the trade, we knew we were giving up a lot. And now people won't know this yet, but maybe Jack will. Jeremy Valoria is a really talented arm. We traded 16-year-old arm. We traded out of the Dominican, and we gave up a lot for him, but we thought he was the piece that could put us over the top. So we were willing to make that trade. And obviously he played great for us. It just didn't work out in the end, but we have a ton of metrics we look at, and we'll continue to evaluate those and try and make a decision here in the offseason.
Can you imagine trading 16 years old? Your guys, I've said this before. I've said it to Barber. Like, the fact that you guys have to look at like 16-year-old kids and project what they're going to be a decade from then, like, is it's so hard. And I'm always so freaking impressed by it. Go ahead, Jack. I had to say that.
How many times have you watched the 2-2 pitch to Alex Call from Chris Sanchez? Like, I mean, how many times?
You know, you're talking to the right guy here. I've been a pretty big proponent of not just ABS, but full ABS. Mm-hmm. And not just because of that call.
Tell Jack, Preston. All right. We have had this battle before. You and I, same page, my friend. Yes.
I just think, you know, I'm open to conversations about it. I think my stance has been just from the standpoint of it's so hard to hit. Pitchers are so good. I actually think the full ABS would help hitting. And it would give guys consistent strike zone where they know a strike's a strike. And yeah, there would be a few pitches that guys are going to gripe about. But I think once a hitter, like the hitters are so good as well. And once they know the strike zone, it's the same every single day. I think it helps them ability to control the strike zone even better. So that's my stance. Not saying I'm right, but
just these umpires, to your point, human eye can't catch that speed and the way the ball moves and exactly where it goes over the plate. Like, it's just an impossible job they're asking of these guys.
Yeah, Jack's a big Tuck rule supporter. I knew he was human error. You know.
Well, it's just like, all right, sometimes pitchers have to earn pitches, in my opinion. And I don't like the idea of a guy missing a spot by 6 inches and it getting rewarded. So I don't know. I mean, I like the three challenges thing. I think it's going to add a lot of interesting strategy next year.
I think it's going to be fascinating. I agree. Yes.
And like the teammates, if a guy blows one in the third inning, they're going to be like, what are you doing? Like, we're going to use that for later. So I'm pretty excited for. I liked it in spring training. I don't know about full ABS, but in spring training at least it was cool. So, and if it goes back and overturns the 2-2 pitch to Chris to Alex Call,
which it would have,
I'm all for it. All for it.
It's I think fans will enjoy it too. Honestly, when they haven't seen it yet, it's like fans get into it a little bit during the games and they put it up on the big board, and it's almost like the tennis, like U.S. Open style, where totally, they kind of zoom it in and you know, fans get the little chant going. So it's been fun.
Is what seems like it's going to happen in 2027 playing any effect into team building for
it's a great question
for this year?
For listeners who might not know what you're talking about, the potential of labor strife, of a potential lockout, a strike, whatever, like that, the deal's up. There has been a lot of wondering and questioning whether there will be a season to start in 2027. I know you're not going to comment on that specific thing, but to Jack's point, we've seen a lot of theories that like maybe teams aren't going to give out huge contracts because of it, or this or that, or whatever. You want to be on the hook for something if there's no baseball, whatever. Do you guys factor the potential of that into your forecasting, into your planning?
We've heard some of that, but I think our organization, we're not factoring that in. I think like it's so much unknown. I think we're just going to build our team as if, you know, it's just normal kind of status quo. So we haven't factored that in at all, but it's definitely, you know, worth conversation. I understand.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, me too.
That makes me happy.
Me too.
Can we talk about the minor league guys?
Yeah, I think we're there.
Come on. Yeah. All right. So we got the sad stuff out of the way. Well, let's talk a little positive. All right. Dante Norrie, every time I check in the AFL, He has two hits. Like, I mean, has he made real adjustments? It seems like everyone's sleeping on him. And it actually is starting to make me mad, Preston. Because all he did for 3 months at the end of the year was hit and reach double A in his first full season professional baseball. Where are we at on Dante Norrie?
Yeah, I mean, like, Dante's a guy obviously we thought very highly of and took him where we took him in the draft. Just such a high floor player with skills that we really value. A guy that can control the zone at elite clip, make contact an elite clip. We think he's going to be an above average base runner, above average defender. And I think it's just, if the power comes, you're looking at a premium player. And I think we think there's way more power in there than he's shown. So we're very high on him. Obviously we're thrilled with what he's done this year in the fall league in his first full season. I think people, you know, lose sight of, I think honestly why he doesn't get the credit that you're talking about, Jack, is because his size, right? He's a smaller guy. If he was 6'2", everybody would talk about him.
Yeah.
You know, or if different organizations took him, everybody would talk about him. But I think, you know, his skill set is such a high floor, and it's something that teams value throughout the league. And we're really happy with his progress. It's so tough to do what he did coming from a Michigan high school, cold weather, and to put up the numbers he did in the leagues he did. Really proud of him. But knowing Dante, he's in the fall league, he's grinding. He'll come after he's done the dead period. He'll be down in Clearwater starting in January, and he's ready to turn the page and have a big year next year. So, you know, I think they can sleep. Everybody can sleep on him, but we're definitely not.
No. And also just like watch Sal Frelick. Like, you know, he's a good, valuable player. So anyway, but is he someone, so Crawford, been questions about sticking in center field. Seems like he's going to be more of a corner guy. Is Norrie someone that can just plug and play center field?
Yeah, I mean, we think, I hate to say plug and play, but, you know, we think he's got a chance to be an above average center fielder. You know, I think Justin, I think as an organization, people have questioned that outside. I think we still think Justin could be an above average center fielder. And I think people want to judge players at 20, 21 years old when they're playing at levels that, you know, really no other players are playing at. So we think he's going to grow and get a lot better. Justin's still growing into his body. I mean, every time he comes back every year, he's 15 pounds heavier. It wouldn't shock me if he's 205 pounds in spring training this year, and he's still going to look like he could add another 40. And that's just the body he has. He's been blessed with great genes. I think Dante and Justin can play above every center field.
Yeah. And Justin Crawford, barring something crazy, will be on the team next year. I know we've talked a lot about Justin Crawford, and I know that I think he's pretty well known in fan circles, but I guess just a summary, what are Phillies fans getting in Justin Crawford when he eventually comes up here?
Yeah, you're getting an elite athlete with elite speed and ability to make a ton of contact. I think right now it's been very well documented. Like, there's a lot of balls on the ground, which I think with his speed is going to be better than most. I still think there's line drive and home run power in there. To me, it's all about just the angle he hits the ball. And it's still, he's hitting balls at, you know, 110 off the bat. It's not like he's one of these guys that can't hit it hard. Justin can hit the ball hard. And you've seen when he hits the ball in the air, he's able to hit it out. So I think there's going to be – it's a dynamic player, speed, athleticism, and when he hits the ball in the gaps, it's going to be really fun to watch. He brings a ton of energy, and it's just a different dynamic to a club. You know, it's been funny. I think, like, we started him in low A his first full year. He goes out and does – you know, has a great year. His team there was the Clearwater team who kind of dominated the minor leagues before we moved everybody up. We move him to Jersey for a short while. Their team does nothing but win, and he's a big part of that. We put him in double A, and we've had a really tough time with kind of as we built our organization, like having success in the minor leagues. Not that, hey, we have to win at every level. I'm just more putting that Justin Crawford's been a winner his whole life, and he's been a big part of why these teams win. You put him in triple A last year before we got moved a ton of guys up, and they had the best record in minor league baseball. I just think this guy does a lot to help your team win. And whether that's defense, whether it's the speed, whether it's the contact aspect of it. I mean, I can't say enough about Justin. This is at 21 years old, right? So,
yeah.
I know we want the perfect player to come up and never chase a pitch and never hit a ball on the ground and hit every ball of the pool side in the air. I just think it's not reality, right? The guys that come up in the big leagues, a lot of young kids struggle early on. And I think, you know, Justin's got a very high very good skill set to have success at the major league level. But it's not to say there's not more development still to come. So, yeah, we're very high on Justin. And, yeah, can't wait for Philly fans to see him.
And then there's Aiden. So what I find interesting about his year is, so he's really, like, you know, was kind of cold for a good portion. None of the underlying stuff seemed fine. And then August just goes nuts. And it seems like he could be a factor on the 26 team. I mean, how close do you view Aiden Miller from being able to come up and help this ball club?
Yeah, I think the really good ones come quick, and I think he falls into that bucket. I think, honestly, people don't talk about the year he had. I mean, he took got a full grade better at shortstop. He went from probably a 50 runner to maybe a 70 runner. I mean, and it's a credit to the kid, honestly. If you would have told me that, you know, coming out of the draft after seeing him in his first kind of few months out, when I was PD director, that Aiden Miller was going to steal 50 plus bases and he'd be a 70 runner, I probably would have laughed at you. But I mean, it's a credit to the kid that he did a ton of speed work this offseason, worked a ton with Adam Everett and then Luke Merton, Edouard Gonzalez on the hitting side. And the kid's kind of turned himself into he's kind of flipped the profile. He's now like a guy that can play shortstop, could potentially steal 30 to 40 bases in the major leagues while also having the power, like, you know, guy that can hit 25 to 30 home runs and play a premium position. I don't think people give him enough credit for the year he had. Getting to AAA, doing what he did there, I think people forget he's 21 years old again. But I think that, Aiden's got a very bright future. And honestly, if he impacted the big league club, if he kind of takes that next step, it wouldn't surprise me.
How are the draft picks thrown? I mean, I've heard some buzz about Brian Walters.
Oh, yeah, you heard some buzz?
Yeah, we're a little excited.
Your sources.
We're a little excited about Brian Walters. Gabe Craig, I'm ready to get a jersey. Obviously, you know, Gage Wood.
Two first names.
I watched Trey Savage and said that's got to be Gage. So, you know, how?
Oh, yeah, could Gage pitch in the World Series?
Come on.
I'm in.
Anything you could tell us about how some of the draft picks are throwing?
Yeah, we're really excited about them. Obviously, with the way the draft falls now, we don't really get to see a lot of them come out and pitch right away. But they've been down there. All of our guys from the draft last year and a lot of our prospects are down there, been training in Clearwater since, you know, mid-October. They'll go through that through the dead period. All I can say is, obviously we invested a ton of picks in our pitching group for the first time in a while. And I think, I'm going to – got to be careful what I say. I think guys are going to come out and be really excited with the arms we got. I think just, Gage and at the top with Kate Obermuller. You mentioned even some reliever type arms and Gabe Craig, Matthew Fisher in the seventh round. I just think Cody Bowker, Sean Youngerman, even guys down the line that I think have a chance to be good. You mentioned Walters. Yeah, we're really excited about our pitching group, but I don't want to say too much because I want them to go out and prove it and then let them speak for themselves.
Yeah, well, let us get excited.
Yeah, look at Jack.
We'll get excited.
He's
on
beaming
the outside
right now.
Yeah. And then I guess final one on most of the prospect questions. Yeah. I know. So
I got one more Phillies question.
I know. So, Dave mentioned at the end of season press conference about Otto Kemp and the idea of him being an everyday player. What kind of gives you the confidence that he can be an everyday player? And how do you play through a broken kneecap or whatever?
What the hell? It's like a hockey player or something like that does that. What a beast.
Yeah, I mean, Otto, great story. He's a self-made kid, big-time worker, one of the toughest players I've ever been around. And the knee wasn't the only injury he was dealing with. He was dealing with multiple things. So I don't think Philly fans really got to see the true Otto Kemp. I think it's got a chance to be top of the scale power. He's got some position. I mean, I don't say 80, but he's got a chance to be a guy that hits 20 home runs, 25 home runs in the major leagues. He's got some versatility. I think, from a defensive standpoint, he wasn't able to move the way he honestly could move in the minor league. So I kind of felt bad for him that he was playing some positions and his range was so limited due to the injuries. We're very high on him. We think he can impact the club. Obviously, he's destroyed left-handed pitching throughout his career. And we think there's enough, at bat taker in there to hold his own versus righties and do real damage.
Yeah, he just feels like a ball player.
A baseball player. Yeah.
All right, two more.
Jack's baseball players.
Yeah, that's right.
Look for more baseball players.
Yeah, just sign baseball players, Preston. This isn't that hard. Just go get guys who play the sport. Two more. One Phillies, one not. I'll start with the not. I know you're a huge basketball guy. Used to play, all that. Have you gotten a chance to watch VJ Edgecombe at all? And any thoughts on this new kind of young star athlete in Philly?
Well, first, Sixers are back.
So yeah, buddy. How about
Sixers are back. And they're young. They're athletic. I got the chance to meet VJ at the stadium.
Oh, you took me one step up. I was like, if you hadn't to watch him, you're like, I met him, actually.
Yeah. So I was happened to meet him. Great kid. And when you watch him play, I don't want to throw some comps out there, but there's some real bounce in there. The ability to attack the rim. I mean, Maxie's playing at like an elite level. Joel looks like he's getting healthy. I think this team's got a chance to do real damage. The East feels down to me too.
It does. It is. All the injuries, Tatum and Halliburton, all that stuff.
Yeah. I think the Sixers got to get now. Paul George got to come back healthy.
Yeah. We'll see.
Embiid's got to keep trending in the right way. But I like the team, man. They're young. They're fun. And we got McCain coming back tonight, I think.
I know.
He's locked in on the Sixers. This is great. Yeah,
right. Let's tone it down a little bit. Like, let's stop being so locked in on the Sixers. We got a ball glove to help win. I mean,
I do like the Houston energy they're bringing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's fun.
It's fun to watch. Fun.
And look, it's a good time in the city. It's good for everyone. All right, last one. And look, I don't think it's really our listeners as much, but there are definitely fans who, after, you know, four straight, kind of decreasing length in how they finish the season. There are some fans who are down right now with the Phillies, and obviously the way the season ended. I want to give you a chance to speak to those people and tell them why they should be excited and get back in, because next year is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think we got a good core group coming back. I think, you know, we're, as an organization, we're always looking to improve our club, and we will do that this offseason. And I think we have an influx of young players coming that are going to be really excited to watch. So I think Philly baseball is in a really good spot. I know we haven't finished the way us as an organization or the fans want. I know as an organization, we're not going to stop until we get that World Series. So I would tell fans that, you know, stick with us. We're going to keep building this thing the right way. And we got a lot of exciting young players to come and to build with.
Tell you what, there's nothing like having some homegrown kids come up and inject some youthful energy and some life into a ball club. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the eventual those guys coming up.
Only World Series Jack and I have won in our lifetime was one that way. They added tunes up, but it was won because of Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins and Pat Brown, all these guys, Brett Myers,
Cole Hamels,
the whole thing. Like, they were all homegrown guys. Like, that's how we won our World Series in our lifetime. So, and since then, it's been until now, really, that the Phillies have put so much into and cared so much about drafting and developing. And I'm freaking thrilled so far with what you guys have been doing. So definitely keep it up.
Look, I think fans too, they understand, like, when you get the young players, they play with a different energy. And I think you get more invested in them because you see the way they play the game and it feels like you can grow with them. Where when you get the free agent, and I know those guys are great players too, but just you feel more invested in your own guys.
Totally.
And I think as an organization, I can just speak to this. Like obviously, it's been very public of like the lack of draft capital we've had. But I think as an organization, we're just getting started. We're trying to build a monster here. And I think we're going to keep trying to do that. Obviously, we've made a ton of trades to supplement our major league club. And we're going to keep doing that as well to try and win, because that's the ultimate goal. But we're going to build this thing the right way. And we're going to get a ton of players. We're going to develop them. And you're going to see home run players. As fans know, it takes time.
Yeah. Listen, I'm
going to build a monster. Let's go.
I'm as upset about the comp picks this year as you are. You know, I would love that to be in the first round, but it is what it is. You know, we take a fourth rounder, we take it. Last thing for me, Andrew Painter. I mean, obviously last year, you know, it was good getting him through the season healthy, but I guess this off season, what do you kind of heard or talked to Andrew Painter about and how we look in heading into 26?
Yeah, obviously from a performance standpoint, wasn't what Andrew or anybody, you know, what he's capable of. Honestly, we were thrilled with him to get the innings he got to give a good baseline under his belt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But when you kind of like a part of me kind of looks at this and says, okay, this elite, in my opinion, elite prospect, elite player coming back from injury, hadn't pitched in 2 years, doesn't have the year he wants to have. You know, people talked about him being in the major leagues. That didn't happen. I'm kind of excited that like Andrew Painter has a chip on his shoulder this offseason. Yeah. It's like, hey, some people are writing me off, and I know the kid, so I know he's going to go work. And I think we're going to be really excited with what we come out of this come next spring training and next season, because he's still an elite pitcher. He's still an elite talent. He's elite makeup, elite worker, and Philly fans are going to love him. And I actually kind of like it. He's going to have a little chip on his shoulder that, hey, you know, I'm not going to name the other prospects that people are saying are better than him, but we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, he's got to face adversity at some point. Yeah. And
just saw you Savage go and pitch in the World Series. I'm sure that was motivation too, watching a 22-year-old kid his age in the World Series. Yeah. I mean, how could it not be, you know?
Looking forward.
No question about it.
Me too. Ah, awesome. All right. We'll let you go. We've taken up far too much of your time.
Way too much of your time.
We will definitely have you back on as now you are the best friend of the pod. But seriously, can't tell you how much we appreciate the time, Preston. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Of course.
Yeah. Thank you again, Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah. For lowering your standards to come on this podcast. We genuinely appreciate it. All right. You got anything else?
Dude, so the World Series is pretty crazy.
Good point. We talked about a bit with Preston. I said it there. I think it was the best baseball game I've ever seen in my life, Game 7.
Yeah. Well, and what made me the most happy. So, all right, let's
address. We're sad that the Blue Jays lost. You know, the Dodgers won. You know, sure. I'm bummed at least. I know you're Dodgers fan and all that. But
no, I switched.
Okay, good.
Yeah, right. Well, because I got to the point where I think it was better for baseball if Toronto kept it close.
Agree.
Because if the Dodgers just went out there and bludgeoned them, I think that the 27 lockout is much more. Because then there's a big case of, look, this isn't even fair.
Fair, yeah.
Now, I think that reaction will happen if they sign Kyle Tucker this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Or Bo Bichette.
Oh, yeah. Is they're going for a three-peat? Yeah.
Yeah. I think then people are going to – because you look at the Dodgers lineup, and with, like, it's not an unbelievable lineup. I mean, there was times this postseason where they were – horrible.
The guy who got their biggest hit, you know, was freaking Miguel Rojas. You
sure,
know?
Sure. But they've been shut down a lot. And you look at Freeman, you look at Mookie.
They only batted, what, 203, 204 in the World Series or something like that, you know? So,
yeah, Kike can't do this forever, right?
I mean, you would think.
You would think. So they do have the possibility of a lineup that is on the decline.
Are you trying to say the Dodgers aren't going to be that good? Is that where we're going?
No, I think that, well, this is all predicated. I'm saying this, saying I think the lineup could be on the verge of, like, not being that great anymore with Freeman getting older and Mookie. I think Mookie's mostly done offensively.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
But then if they just go inject it with Kyle Tucker.
Well, exactly.
Bo Bichette, like, or both are one of them. And then that's when I start getting
the World Series odds for next year. I believe they are plus 340.
Not bad. Not bad.
I mean, it's like, wow.
Not bad. So yeah, but it was an amazing game. I, full disclosure, a little tired, fell asleep in the eighth.
So I had a feeling, because normally you're tweeting nonstop, and you weren't tweeting the way you normally were. Yeah.
So I fell asleep, woke up right before the Will Smith home run.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, that's cool, you know? And saw him close it out.
Wow.
And you wake up. I'm not a big nap guy. I know you're a big nap guy.
I have to be. I have a choice. Yeah. And I'm actually going to go take one as soon as we're done with this.
I knew you were. But I feel like when I wake up from anything that's not my usual sleep, I'm just. So nothing really computes.
Oh, totally.
So I know I went to bed and the Dodgers were down. For some reason, that didn't really register how they tie it up. And then obviously the Will Smith home run, watched the end of the game. That was great. but didn't know how everything happened.
So you know Miguel Rojas is the star of the game.
I woke up the next morning, everyone's talking about Miguel Rojas, and I was like, this isn't 2020. This is where he killed the Phillies. And I rewatched it, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
and
absurd.
What Yamamoto did was insane. Yeah. 96 pitches, and then pitching 2 2/3 the next day. That's nuts.
Yeah. Pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Three wins in the World Series.
How about Will Smith catching every inning of the World Series? An 18-inning game. That dude caught every inning of the World Series and hit the big home run.
Yeah. I know.
Really, they're winners, man.
Yeah.
No. Credit where due.
You got it.
They bought it, but they're winners.
Yeah. Well, and Joe Davis said it. I did find it annoying, Joe Davis on the call. Because...
So I thought that was a bit of a It did feel like he got way more excited for the Dodgers than the Blue Jays route. Like it was just very clear that the guy is the Dodgers announcer. Like, could we maybe have an unbiased announcer? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
to beat the champs, you got to knock him out. He's been cooking.
Oh yeah, that one waiting. It was like Jim Nance. Simon Says Arizona wins the national team. Yeah, it's always got his thing ready. You don't remember the Simon Says from Miles Simon?
What is that reference? That's from the 90s.
Yeah. Now, Simon, when Arizona won the national, because I was trying,
no one remembers
it was
that.
It was the worst of the Jim Nanceism. Shout out to Jim Nance, friend of the show.
It's good to see him, but hasn't resigned yet.
Yet. Because Miles Simon, do you remember? You're too young. Miles Simon on that Arizona team with Khalid, what was his name? Khalid. Anyway,
big old swing. I had no idea.
Anyway, they were awesome. They won the national championship, and Miles Simon, the best player on the team, says, Simon says.
Oof.
It was so bad.
I hate when
clearly like planned ahead of time.
I don't like when announcers try to do too much.
I don't like when they plan the line. Like, I just, you know, just say what you feel in the moment.
Don't plan the line.
Don't plan the line.
Don't plan the line.
I agree.
So, but yeah, it was a great World Series. It was, I love the. Now, the ratings are a little different how they check them now.
Well, and the Canada thing and all that, it's hard to...
So it was good seeing the numbers and 50% higher than...
Yeah, it was good seeing it crush basketball. I'll take that.
But and all this is great, and baseball...
And the lockout and no one
cares. Of course!
Yeah, dude, it would be... So, again, we talked about this once in a recent pod somewhat, but what 94 did to baseball and how angry people were with the sport and all that. Like, this is... Baseball's good again.
I know.
Like the pitch clock has changed everything. People who I have not talked baseball with in years are excited about baseball again.
Dude, baseball cards are back.
It would be the worst thing that could possibly happen to the sport, which based on the history of the sport means get ready for a lockout.
Kids care about baseball again.
Baseball loves to do everything they can to force people not to root for their
sport. Worst.
That's great.
Worst. Great. So... One more year of baseball. That's what we get.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy that last Dodgers championship. It's going to be really fun.
Well, I did start thinking about how nice it would be to have a free summer.
You're already spinning them. Yeah.
Yeah. And go on vacation. See your family. It's great. So, yeah. No, but great World Series. Look forward to Phillies being there next year. And if Harrison Bader
I knew you were going to do this. Yeah. I said it.
If Harrison Bader was healthy, who knows? Maybe the Phillies would have been there as well this year. Come on, man.
On that note,
everything's fine. It was really tough going back through the series with Preston real quick. Like, I just, got sad all over again.
Tough. Yeah. It was tough. I wanted to ask a Kerrigan question. I was like, I can't even.
Can't,
I don't have anything to, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
We all feel really sad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to Preston. It really is a thrill having him on. And if he wants to do it monthly, guess what? We'll do it. We'll definitely have him on again soon. So we'll be back, I'm sure, next week with something. I'm sure there's something exciting. Free agency opening up.
We do have to start, perfect off seasoning.
That's true. Perfect off season. That's coming soon. So we'll get on that. And then
go from there.
The cold winter is coming. Winter's coming, man.
Frozen dungeon.
And then it'll be March before we know. March 26th, 3:05, the Rangers. Let's go.
Why do they keep opening with the Rangers?
I don't know. It's really weird.
2014, 2023.
It's really weird. Year. It's really weird.
It's ridiculous. Why?
You got me, buddy.
there's no connection.
Will Zach Wheeler be pitching that game?
No.
I don't think so either. No, Sanji.
Well, first off, I don't want to rush him back. I don't want to see him until mid-May.
I don't either. I was based off they said they might be ready.
So. No need to rush him.
All right.
No need to rush him.
I feel good.
A lot of Phil stuff.
I'm going to go nap now.
All right.
Until then, he spreads himself.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.